You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Matthew 25 verse 19, we are in a series that we have called Momentum. And so we've been talking about building momentum in our lives, building momentum in our marriages, building momentum in our families, building momentum in our education, in our business. And we've been saying this statement each week. And what we said was, when we talk about momentum, it may be a little bit difficult to describe it. It may be, if someone says to you, what is momentum? It may be difficult to describe it, to articulate it. Maybe for some of you that have this broad, acute, pinpoint vocabulary, maybe you can do it. But for the rest of us, it's hard maybe to describe it. But one thing is this, when you see something that has momentum, you recognize it. You recognize it. Whether it's a business, whether it's a person, whether it's a church, no matter what it is, whether it's in education or spiritual, when you see momentum, you recognize it. Can I tell you, Jesus was a man who had momentum. Jesus had momentum. Jesus, one man, we understand that he's God incarnate. That means he's God in the flesh. God came down and became a man to save mankind. This is God's sovereign plan. But we see what God wants for a man, for an individual, because this man has momentum. Jesus pulls to him 12 disciples. One man brings 12 disciples. Those 12 disciples in the upper room multiply to 120. The Holy Spirit comes down upon that 120. One man preaches and 3,000 are saved. The Bible shows us as they start to evangelize and do what God told them to do, and that is to go everywhere telling people the good news of who Jesus is. How many know Jesus is good news? Jesus is good news. Listen, contrary to popular opinion, Jesus did not come here to build a boring religion. Jesus did not come here just so that you could go to church and be religious and sing, amen. Jesus didn't come for that. Jesus came to give you life, and life more abundantly. Remember what we looked at the first week? We said that the Bible says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit, that he's a spark plug for life. He's the accelerant. He fuels you. He puts fuel in your engine. He brings life, things to life everywhere he goes. And the Bible says they went around talking about Jesus. Not religion. Not this church. They went around talking about Jesus. And the Bible says there was 5,000 men. That means there's probably 20,000 people. From one man to 12 disciples to 120 to 3,000 to 20,000 in the first couple of months or years of Christianity. Not only is Jesus a man of momentum, the church. When you think of the word church, when we look at the Bible, the word church is a place of momentum. Many times people go to church to die. They're like, yeah, I don't want to go to church. The church should be a place of momentum. When we come out of this place, we should have a momentum about our lives. We said the first thing is we've got to start with God. The second thing, we need to get organized. The third thing I want to speak about today is be faithful. Look at someone and say, be faithful. Look back and say, you too. That's right. You better tell yourself if you're going to let me to tell me. Put the beam out there. I tell you, yeah, anyway. Matthew 25 verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled account with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, I pray that you speak to us today. Lord, we are so charged up. We are so happy. We are so jubilant and excited and revived to see people baptized. Father, it's what we live for and what we gain the most joy out of. And we thank you that we have the privilege to experience this as a church. And I pray, Father, you would save those that are not saved today. Deposit something in their spirit and in their heart that they would see that you love them. And Father, you have a new destiny for them. Lord, I pray, Father, you would revive the old weary saint. Father, they're tired and they're crusty. But Lord, you're able to breathe upon us and help us to get excited when we see these things. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, and the real church said, amen. We want to speak about be faithful. I know there's nobody crusty here, but just in case, I just had to throw that out there. Listen, we've got to be faithful. In our text, the Bible says that Jesus paints this picture and he says there's a servant. Jesus is the Lord. How many know Jesus is Lord? And we are his servants. Hallelujah. I know sometimes people want to walk around that they're the Lord. You know, you ain't the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. We're the servant. And so the Bible says that here is this picture, this analogy, this metaphor, where the Lord gives 5 talents, so some resources to this individual. And the Bible says the Lord goes away, and when he comes back, he calls in that servant, and that servant has produced 5 more. He was given 5, he's produced 5 more, he has what? Some of you weren't sure. He had 5, he's produced 5 more, he has 10. Amen. A. You get A. You get a merit. Amen. Distinction. And so, this is what we see. This is a man who has momentum. Here is a man that was given 5, and the Lord goes away, and he's done something with it. He's moving, he's shaking, he's trading, he's telling people, he's talking to people, he's multiplying it, he's doing something with this 5. So when the Lord comes back, he's actually now got 10. He's produced something more. He's a man who has momentum, and we can sit back and say, he's just lucky. We can sit back and say, oh, well, you know, he's just one of those. The Bible says, no, 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 that wasn't the distinctive about this man. The Bible identifies why was it that this man had momentum on his life, and the Bible simply puts it as this. The Bible says that Jesus looks at this man and says, you are faithful. That is why you was able to bring a multiplication. That is why you're able to have momentum. See, the word momentum needs to be constant. The word faithful is to be constant. How many know you can't have momentum if you start and stop and start and stop? How many know you can't have momentum like that? Think of what we said. We said to have momentum, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful to have momentum. We all want momentum. How many of you want momentum? How many want some financial momentum? How many want some, you know, momentum in your life? You want momentum in your kids. How many want your kids to go further than you went? That's what you should want. Even if you're here, you're single, you're young, one day you're probably going to have kids. You better start thinking about that now. Because I'm going to behave, but we're just going to say that. And so, here it is, you have momentum, and the Bible says that it's because this man is faithful. Now, listen, when we say the word faithful, we kind of think about Christianity and church and these type of things. But I want you to think about this. The word faithful means to be consistent, constant. That's the word faithful. It's consistent and it's constant. And so, if I stop, I'll never gain momentum. It's as simple as that. So, that's with anything in life. Say like you want momentum, we're coming to the end of the year soon, you know, a few more months, the end of the year, be like the beginning of the new year. At the beginning of the new year, everybody wants a New Year's resolution. So the gym is going to be full. People doing a madness. Gym is going to be full. People have gone out there. They've spent like £200 on tracksuits and trainers and everything is matching. And they're in the gym and they're doing all their thing. But the problem is, in a month's time, all of that stuff will just be tucked under the bed somewhere. Or they're just going to walk around Junction with it. Doing the shopping. Some of them will be smoking with it. Eating chips. But the reality is, starting something doesn't bring momentum. You got to continue in it. And if you start, and you stop, and you start, and you stop. And the reason why some of us, we don't have momentum, is that we've never learned the power of consistency. We've never learned the power of faithfulness. And this could be a gym. This could be an eating plan. This could be learning something. I want to make a statement here. I want it to be deposited within your spirit. Inconsistency makes things weak. Inconsistency makes things weak. Inconsistency. if the material of something, when I say the material, everything is made up of a material. This is made up of plastic. This is made of metal. This is made of wood. If the consistency of it, think of a cake. If its consistency is wrong, it's weak. There's no consistency. If there's no consistency to your life is going to be weak. If there's no consistency to your marriage, can I say something here? Let me make a statement out here, and you can disagree with me. This is just this is a rule of life. You want to be a good parent? Give your children consistencies. You need consistency. Children need consistencies. They need to know certain things. You can't be, one minute you're up, next minute you're down. One minute you're sitting at the table eating, next minute you're feeding them chips from the back of the car. You've got to have some consistency. Children need consistency. They set fire to the house. You're laughing. They're swearing and shouting and dancing and doing, taking a check. You're learning to shout. As soon as they drop something, you stupid! There's no consistency there. You can't do that. There has to be some consistency in the discipline, in the time. There has to be those things. And I know what it's like to grow up without consistency. Not dissing nobody. But that's just the way it is. Inconsistency makes things weak. Consistency builds strength. Do you know if you would just go, think about this now, and I always like to use gym illustrations because this is something that, you know, I kind of struggle with. I'm inconsistent, man. I want to go to the gym. I want to be fit and healthy, but, you know, but I've done 6 weeks now faithfully going to the gym. I'm pretty happy about that. Some of you are like, hey, he don't look nuts. But listen, for me, this is good. And so consistency, just a little bit. You don't have to. This is what people do. People overcompensate their inconsistencies. So they're inconsistent, so they go to the gym. And they just go wild. And they do everything. And the next day, how you doing? You all right? Yeah. And then they don't go for like 3 months. And then another 3 months, they do that again. And this is how they live. And they never change. See, a little bit every day would have done you a whole lot better. A little bit every day. A little bit every day. You got an exam coming? Start studying a little bit now. A little bit now. A little bit now. You know it's coming. Listen, you should know it's coming. They told you it was coming. And then you're ready for it. But no, what we want to do is, hey, did you see that guy? Look at him on YouTube. He fell over again. Look at that cat. That cat is singing. And you're watching YouTube for hours. Look at that baby. That baby's... And you're looking at that. And then the night before, you're going to cram. You're going to have congestion. That's what you're going to have. See, consistency builds strength. And faithfulness is the same as consistency. Faithfulness means I'm going to continue to be there and do what I know I need to do. See, faithfulness produces amazing results. You see people that do amazing things. You go to a concert, someone sings amazing. You go to a sports thing and then someone scores a goal and it's amazing. Do you think they just got out of bed and did that? They didn't. They've been faithful to their craft. I was recently with a pastor and he was telling me that there was a young guy in his church and he was really good at rugby. I remember meeting this guy. The guy was huge. Young guy, man. He was a solid unit. Tall, broad shoulders. He was into rugby. He was built for rugby and he was just good, really good. He got a scholarship to go to a university in England. But when he got there, all he did is muck about and drink. And so they kicked him out. He went to another place, slightly lower. He did the same thing. They kicked him out. And then now, really hardly doing anything. I don't know exactly what he's doing now. But the essence is that just because you got the opportunity, just because a door has been opened for you and you have the natural talent, without faithfulness, that talent will be wasted. That talent will be wasted without faithfulness. Let me just show that how faithfulness can produce amazing results. Faithfulness can work with something small and make it big. Faithfulness, when you're consistent at something, someone is, we want big things. We just want the big thing. We just want to go straight in, give us a big thing. You know what the biggest brand in the world is at the moment? Do you know what the biggest brand in the world is at the moment? Anybody think they know? Apple. Someone down here. This is serious, man. This is just a serious, man. We need to give her some money so she can invest it for us. She knows what's going on. So think about now. Apple is the biggest brand. You know, Apple started in a guy's garage. A guy, just the guy, just in the back of his house. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak just welding little transistors together. But bit by bit, they believed in it. They kept pushing it, going to computer fairs, little nerds, and doing these things. And then it builds, and it becomes something the biggest. We're like, we want the biggest brand. No, 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 it started so small. Faithful people can take small things. What small thing has God dropped in your lap? And this is a small thing. I'm waiting for the big thing, God. Give me the big ministry. Give me the big opportunity. You'll never have the big opportunity because you're not faithful with the small opportunities. Faithful people can take small things. You know, one of the things I heard somebody say this, and I've stolen it. I'm not going to get up here and pretend like it was mine. I originated all things. But dream big, but start small. And we need to have that as a church. Dream big. You need to dream big for your life, for your ministry, for your family, for this church. But we need to be willing to start small. How many know we need to be faithful with the one convert? We need to be faithful with the... Listen, if one person gets baptized today, we should just be happy. And then the next baptism, we can have two, and then we can have four, and then we can have eight, and then we can go on like that. We need to be faithful with the one. The one visitor that comes to our service. If we're faithful with the one, listen, God will give us many. Faithfulness helps you to overcome the boredom of life to encounter the unique. How many know life is boring? Let's keep it real. When I say life, I don't mean just, you know, like, yeah, I want to kill myself. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But how many know you just got to get up in the morning? How many know everything is like, da-da? Like you get up in the morning, da-da? Go into the bathroom, da-da? Brush your teeth, da-da? How many know everything is like, it's just... You've done it so many times. When you was a kid, you know, get out of bed, come on, Johnny. And then the first time Johnny brushed his teeth, oh, you're taking pictures, Johnny brushed their teeth. How many know your wife don't do that for you now? Maybe she does. And then there's problems, bro. You need to be brushing your teeth way more often. Life has a certain, just a repetitiveness to it that you can easily get bored. And what people that are faithful, what they do is they overcome the boredom and say, well, I just got to be faithful. And what they do is in that faithfulness, they encounter the unique. They find opportunities. Those that are faithful in marriage, when they look back over their life, they're going to have times in their marriage that were just unique and wonderful times. Me and my wife, we have photos and holiday and different things and experiences that we've been on that we look back and they bring joy to us. They're the unique moments of life. But we would not have them if we weren't faithful to one another. And the same is with children, and the same is in your job. I want them to promote me. This system is against me. No, what is against you is that you're inconsistent. If you would make yourself consistent and be faithful, more likely you can encounter these unique moments of life. Faithfulness helps us to remain in hard times, to enjoy the sweet times. In our text, we see that God recognizes this quality of faithfulness. And this is what we should be most concerned about. In our text, in verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What God is speaking about here is that he looks at how we live our life, whether we've been faithful, and then he says, after you die, that determines what happens to you. God is looking at what you do now. It matters. It counts. Are you faithful? God finds faithfulness attractive. It shouldn't surprise us because we also find it attractive. Think of what the word means. Trustworthy, dependable, reliable. That's what the word faithful means. To be trustworthy, dependable, reliable. These are attractive qualities. Not just to God, but to us. Think of a company that is reliable. You like to use it. Imagine if you got an Uber and they just took you to their house.
I don't live here, I know, but next time I'll take you to your house. I'm not using this again. That's the whole thing about Uber. It's supposed to be trustworthy. You see the car that's coming to get you. You know the person. You see his face. It's there. If someone turns up and it's not, if sometimes it was that car, it wasn't that car, it wouldn't be fair. We're not using it. But it's that it's trustworthy. That's why we look at it. Dependable. Many times you ask people what kind of car is their favorite car. They want German cars. They want like a Mercedes or a BMW. You know why? Because German engineering is supposed to be the best. They're supposed to be trustworthy, dependable. That's why people want them. When I was growing up, there used to be the joke of the car that was called a Skoda. I mean, it's changed now. People, you know, it's a different generation. But there was another car. They called a Lada. You're old school. You understand that? Old school in the house. The problem with those cars, they would break down all the time. They said the reason why a Lada has rear heated windows so it could keep your hands warm while you're pushing it. That's what they said. Because it was unreliable. So what? Think about it now. We don't like unreliable things. We like faithful things, trustworthy, dependable. Think of friendships. If you have a friend who's not reliable or dependable, it's not a real friend. God is the same. God looks at us and he wants friendship with us. And so he says, are you faithful? The amount of people that will complain about someone who's not faithful, and I've said this before, they'll start to put things on Facebook. Yeah, you think you've got friends. You know, Kermit sipping, you know, a thing on there. And so what it is, people, because when someone's not faithful, something in you is like, you're supposed to be my friend. You're supposed to be faithful. And we know about marriage and relationships and, women calling up other women. You took my man. If he was your man, he wouldn't be with that woman. I'm just telling you that now. He's unfaithful. You need to be texting him. Actually, text yourself. Why do I pick unfaithful men? That's what you need to text yourself. But that's a whole other sermon. I'm going to behave today. See, should God expect anything less than what we expect? Can I say, let me speak to the church here. Faithfulness is what turns your title into a real ministry. Let me repeat that. Those of you in ministry in this church, faithfulness is what turns your title. We made you an usher. We made you a pastor. Major on praise and worship. Faithfulness is what turns that title into a real ministry. And that's what brings momentum. The Bible says in this text that the Lord, so speaking about God, God looks at this man who has momentum. He's a faithful man. He's been given five. He's got momentum. He turns that 5 into 10. And so what the Bible says is that God wants to give him more. When you've got that momentum, God wants to get involved in your life. That's the thing. God wants to get involved in faithful people's lives. When you are faithful, God starts to move on your life in a supernatural way. There's too many unfaithful people waiting for God to move. You must be faithful. And the thing I love about this is that this man has momentum. And spiritual momentum will outlive you. It will just keep going. Because the Bible says that this faithfulness, this momentum that this man has, not only goes through his life, but after, the Bible says that God is going to say, you know what? You've been faithful on earth. I want you to do this in heaven. Many people think, you know, we could just do a whole series on heaven, because many people think in heaven we're just going to be like surfing on clouds, and it's going to be choirs, fat babies with wings and bows and arrows, and we're just going to be la 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 la, ring, ring, la 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 la. No, heaven is going to be, what God is going to create is the perfection of what this should have been. Every talent, every ability is going to be perfected. Relationship is going to be perfect. Everything, all the food and music is going to be perfected. Heaven is going to be what this should have been. You do not want to miss it. You do not want to miss it. And the Bible says that the people that are living now, who are faithful, they have built this momentum, and even after they die, it breaks through the death and it keeps going even into heaven. Because they're faithful. Let me bring things to a close before we pray. How many of you here, you want to be more faithful? To be more faithful, we need to be more faithful. It's deep, isn't it? It's deep, man. Come in here. I know you're so blessed with these revelations. You're like, where did you get them? To be more faithful, we need to be more faithful. We need to be more full of faith. This is what it is. You become faithful by being filled with more faith. You know, in the Hebrew, the word faithful is the same as the word believe. The Bible says in Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord. That word believed is the same as the word faithful. It's the same Hebrew word. It says he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so the Bible is showing us there is a link between your faithfulness and what you believe. When you believe, it makes you faithful. When you believe, it makes you faithful. What that means is that if you are finding that your life is totally unfaithful, or that it's filled with inconsistencies, and specifically when we're talking about God and spiritual issues, the issue is not just for you to say, I'm going to become faithful now. I'm going to... No. The issue is, what do you believe? That is the question. This is why many are not faithful, because our faith is in the wrong things. When you believe God, if you believe God, if you have a belief, meaning that you trust in him, the Bible says in our text that I read in Genesis 15, that Abraham believed God. He believed him. Now, in our Bible workout recently, we spoke about this in one of the classes. And we said, let's break down, what does this mean to believe? Because I believe in David Cameron. I believe that he existed. Theresa May. I believe in these individuals. I believe in Lewis Hamilton. I believe he exists. But I don't put my faith in him. There is a difference in believing that something exists, and the difference then saying, you know what, I believe in them. The word belief here means I've put my trust in them. The Bible says, when the Bible says that Abraham says he believed in the Lord, it's not talking about he believed that he existed. Because the Bible says in the book of James, you say that you believe in chapter 2, and it says, but the devil believes and trembles. The devil knows there's a God. The Bible says when he thinks about there's a God, he says, ooh. He trembles. He's scared of God. He's not just believing. And so many times people have come to church, come through churches, been in churches, and you ask them, and they're like, I believe. But there's no faithfulness in their life. And the reason why is that it's not just believing that he exists somewhere. It's a belief that you say, I trust him. My faith is in him, and he's filling my faith. So I become faithful. I'm living a faithful life. Who is this God that we believe in? See, if your faith is in yourself, that's why you keep failing. If your faith is in another man, if you come to church and your faith is in someone here, or your faith is in me, you're not going to be faithful. Because your faith is in a man. Your faith is in yourself. But when your faith is in the living God, who the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, the reality is, how many know that we all struggle with being faithful? The Bible says, even when we are faithless, meaning even when we're not faithful, God is still faithful. That you need to direct your faith. So many times we go through troubles and struggles, and we're going through times of temptation, and we're looking to ourselves, come on, bro, try not to look. Come on, sis, try not to do it. Come on, let's do the right thing. And you're talking to yourself, looking in within yourself, and you find yourself weak, and you keep making the same mistakes. The Bible says that we should look to the one who is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has taken you except such which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Bible says that when we look to God and we realize, this is difficult, man. This is a trial. I'm feeling tempted right now. The Bible says you need to look to the one who is faithful. Stop looking to yourself. Look to the one who is faithful. The Bible says that in this time of temptation, he says, you're going to go through some temptation. How many know there's still going to be tempting times? There's still going to be trials. But the Bible says with that trial, he makes a way of escape. I've said this illustration before. There have been times, I must admit, because I'm behaving now, I'm trying to go to the gym. But there has been times when, you know, you go to the drive-thru, it's late at night, you're hungry, and you go to KFC or McDonald's, and you go to the KFC. And so when we would go there, I'd order a certain meal, and that meal comes with chips. Amen. And so one of the things that would get me vexed is that you'd drive off and you'd open it, and there's no chips. And you're halfway home, you're vexed. On multiple levels. One, that they've cheated you. Two, that you've paid for it. Three, you're too tired to go back. Vexed. And so whenever we go to the drive-thru, I pay and the guy gives it. And there could be people behind me. I'm like, listen, we need to check this, man. And look in there. We start counting. One, two, three. We have a bit. Listen, you better hold up. Yeah, that's fine. All right, peace. And I drive off because I'm supposed to get chips with the chicken. The Bible says it's supposed to be together. What I mean by that is the temptation comes with a way of escape. It comes together. Look in the bag. It's in there because God is faithful. He doesn't just give you the chicken and leave you without the chips. He says there's temptation, yeah, but there is escape because he's faithful. And so I'm going through this temptation, but I just keep looking and keep looking and keep looking and keep looking. And then comes a way of escape, and he brings me through it, and I can bear it. Because this is what makes me faithful, because my faith is in the God who is faithful. Second Thessalonians 3 verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He's around us, church. He is faithful. Sometimes you're in your place and the devil's threatening you and he's saying things and you think, let me just move from my place. Now God says, be faithful, and I'll guard you. If you look to the one who is faithful, your faith will be full and you will become faithful. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.